In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today it's a little bit unusual because our normal series of readings as we head into the Nativity season are interrupted. And this doesn't happen often, but because of the great authority given to St. Luke the Evangelist and the fact that his feast day appears on this particular Sunday, well, everything is for him. The gospel, the epistle are all those that are designated for an evangelist. Now, the holy evangelist Luke is someone who really, he's all across the gospel and the epistles. It's quite amazing. He was such an amazing man. Definitely a pagan, although there are some authors that claim that he was somehow familiarly part of St. Paul's family, but that's never been ascertained. He was a pagan, and indeed he was also one of the apostles of the 70. Now, the 70 apostles, or some say the 70 disciples, were a group that the Lord had gathered together, and in fact this whole chapter in St. Luke's Gospel talks about that. And they were sent out into all the towns and villages and told not to carry anything with them, neither purse nor staff or anything like this, and solely go out and preach the word of God. Now, Luke was one of these apostles. And it's kind of interesting because if you look carefully at some of the lists that were given of these 70 apostles, it's really like a who's who through so many of them, people that we might not normally think of being one of the 70 apostles. Of course, primarily, St. James, the brother of God, first bishop of Jerusalem, was one of the 70s. Cleopas, the bishop of Jerusalem. Matthias, the one who ultimately supplanted the vacant place of the 12 that was caused by Judas. Thaddeus, who conveyed the epistle to Augurus, who was called Abgar the Fifth, and Ananias, who was baptized. Paul was bishop of Damascus. Stephen, the first martyr, the proto-martyr. Philip, who baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. Prochorus, the bishop of Nicomedia, was also the first that departed. 11 believing together with his daughters. Nicanor died when Stephen was martyred. Timon, bishop of Bostrus, Barnabas, bishop of Milan, Mark the evangelist, St. Mark, the bishop of Alexandria, Luke the evangelist, and of course Luke is the one who was with Cleopas as they were walking along the road to Emmaus after the resurrection when the Lord appeared to them and they didn't recognize them. Silas, bishop of Corinth, Silvanus, bishop of Thessalonica. The list really goes on and on. Because this 70, although they were not the 12, were still very, very significant in the life of the church. Now, Luke himself, of course, was an Antiochian. He was born in Antioch. He is someone who is quite well-versed in all the Old Testament, even though he was a convert. He is also someone who, according to many, wrote the highest form of Greek found in the Gospels. St. Luke's Gospel reads very easily, even in many translations, and is something that really communicates to many of us today. In fact, when I'm recommending Gospels to people who are potential converts who are not familiar with Christianity at all, I always recommend that they start with St. Luke's Gospel. Luke is someone, of course, who saw the Lord, talked with the Lord, talked with his mother, watched the Lord from afar, no doubt, at his crucifixion, was there on the day of Pentecost, and that ultimately, as the church says, around the year 60, set these things down for the most excellent Theophilus, who also he wrote the Acts of the Apostles for. So Luke was someone who was a very, very busy man. Paul refers to him as that beloved physician in his epistle that we heard today. Luke was everywhere. He was very much involved with the life of the church. We know that he ordained at least one bishop, and that he ordained many priests and deacons later on too. So St. Luke was someone who was very, very important in the life of the church. And of course, as one of the 70, he is considered an apostle, just as St. James is considered an apostle, although not one of the 12 apostles, who is a very special and select group. Now, the 70, of course, were foundational in what they did in the early life of the church. Almost all of them became martyrs, as did St. Luke himself, who finally, it is debated, was either crucified or hung upon an olive tree when he was 84 years of age. So he had a long and varied ministry, going to Libya, going to Gaul, going really all around the place. Someone who was very, very active, someone who was convinced very early on that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God, and is someone who is in his gospel makes these facts present to us in a very clear and unambiguous way. Now, of course, in the gospel today, in Luke's gospel, we hear about the 70 who are returning after the Lord first sent them out. And of course, the Lord says some very interesting things here, which I think are very important that we don't take into consideration enough today. He said to them, "He who hears you hears me, and he that does not hear you does not hear me." And of course, by hearing me, then they are either heard or not heard by the Lord's Father who is in heaven. Now, why is this important? Because this is something that we find particularly in this country, particularly even among so many Protestant converts to the Orthodox faith. There is a tendency to sort of bolt from the idea of the authority of the episcopacy. But we now see that granted to the 70 right here, how important that is. The Lord saying that if you don't hear what these men have said, my chosen, then I'm not hearing you, and our Father in heaven is not hearing you either. And why do I say this? Well, because there's so much easy effort, we'll call it, to criticize the episcopacy and all of the Orthodox churches. It's a very easy thing to do. How they've done this, how they've done that, how they've handled this, how they've not handled that, on and on and on. And yet, we see from the way that the Lord has set up the episcopacy that it's very important, that it's something that must be adhered to in most cases, as the canons say, even if the person ends up being wrong, even if he mismanages, even if he is sinful. But yet the bishops of the church must be adhered to. The only reason why we don't is if that bishop is preaching heresy. And something else, if, according to the canons of the church, someone accuses a bishop or a priest or even another Christian, their own life must be blameless in order to make that accusation. In other words, if you're living a dissolute life, if you're not following the Christian faith and you see a bishop and you don't like what they're doing for whatever reason and you accuse them of something, you're the one who's going to be condemned, not the particular bishop. Now, this is very important to us today because particularly during this time, our own bishops of Antioch have seen all sorts of criticism because of the way that they have or haven't handled the COVID crisis, the idea of wearing masks, of social distancing. They've gotten all sorts of criticism for this. I mean, it's been quite unbelievable. And in a true Protestant fashion, most of the people that are doing the criticizing are coming from the Protestant church or who were in the Protestant church. And I like to tell people that this is the reason why there's 43,000 Protestant churches out there. Because if you think you know better, then they went off and did something else. Well, that's not the Orthodox way, not at all, because it doesn't matter if the bishops are right or wrong in how they've handled what's been going on in the midst of this COVID crisis. The fact is, this is what they've said, and they're to be obeyed. And that's the end of the topic. There should be no other criticism, because in Orthodoxy, we are obedient to those in authority. All of us Priests, deacons, laity, subdeacons, readers, everyone have to be in obedience to the directives that the bishop gives, whether or not we like it, whether or not we're happy with it, because that's what obedience in orthodoxy is. And it doesn't matter if we think that somehow we know more than the bishop or that the bishop is wrong, particularly in this case of COVID, we don't know. No one knows. No one's ever experienced this before. So it doesn't matter if we think we're right. That's got nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. We are to submit to the hierarchy, to the order established by the Lord. This isn't something that was made up as we went along. We didn't just decide one day, perhaps back in AD 150, that, you know, we're going to come up with bishops and priests and deacons. No, the Lord Himself established this, and it's on every page of the gospel. It's on every page of the epistles that this order in the church is so vitally important. St. Paul says it himself, let everything be done in the church decently and in order. He's always critical of the various churches because they're out of order, because they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. They're not living the way that they should be living. They're not taking seriously the faith once delivered to all the saints. And this is a big problem. This has always been a big problem, but particularly now in our situation, it's very critical. This is not to say that bishops don't make mistakes. Of course they do. All, or virtually all, of the major heresies in the church were caused by bishops. Okay, so they sometimes make real whoppers. There's no question about that. They sometimes lead the church in a wrong direction. But in the end, the church will correct them. And it's not up to any individual person to do this sort of thing. He who listens to you is someone that listens to me, the Lord says. Okay? It's all part of this great dissemination of the Lord's authority into the episcopacy. Now, these words that St. Luke utters today about Christ talking about the apostles and the fact that they must be heard by other people and must be obeyed also filters down in the church. So we don't think that it's solely something for the bishops or something for the apostles or something even for the priests on a local level. No, this goes down to all of us, because we have to understand that as Christians and all of us part of that royal priesthood, we also have a certain degree of authority in proclaiming that gospel to others. And that's very important to know, because in many cases, we talk to many people and sometimes they don't hear us. How many people that you are connected with outside of the church in your life know that you are a Christian? How many know you are an Orthodox Christian? If we would that they would hear us, our lives must be on a certain level so that they will see that there's something different, that there's something special about this person that's talking to me, and I should listen to them, because they seem to be living a life that is really something that I want. That's what we're called to. Again, the authority of the church, the authority of Jesus Christ Himself, comes down inexorably to all of us, to the least member of the church, because when they are speaking, when any member of the church is speaking to any person about any of the things involving their faith or the religion of Jesus Christ, then that person is in some degree responsible to the people that they are talking to. We have to make sure that our lives are being led on that very exalted and high level, so that when we proclaim the things of the church, we are proclaiming them with an authority that comes not simply from direction from on high, but from an internal witness of the Holy Spirit that is within all of us. This is the important thing. This is why when the 70 apostles came back and they were so excited, Lord, we've cast out demons, we've healed people, in your name everything seems to happen. You know, they were so overwhelmed by this, it's as if they weren't expecting any of this to happen. But what does the Lord say? Okay, look, He knew that was going to happen when He sent them out. He had given them the authority to do these things. They knew that but didn't understand the depth of what he was doing. But yet when they return, what does he say? This is all great. You know, I'm so happy you've come to realize this. I'm so happy people listened to you. I'm so happy you were to cast out demons and to cure people. But you should rejoice instead that your names are written in the book of life in the kingdom of heaven. That was the important thing through all of this. And so it is with us. Because if our names are written in that book, then we won't get big-headed about being Orthodox Christians. We won't be big-headed about someone we may have talked into eventually coming to the church and converting. All of those things come from the Lord. But the fact that our names are written in the book of life, in the kingdom of heaven, is the greatest blessing of all. And we must live our lives accordingly so that we might be worthy of our names written there. Because, my brothers and sisters, there is always that chance that they could be marked out. There is always that chance. Our names are there. But in order for them to stay there, we have to be worthy of that great, great calling which is given to all of us through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.